It's a windy day on the Firth of Forth, a wide river estuary in central Scotland. Jasper Hamlet is jabbing at the sand on the shore with a stick, looking for plastic beads called nurdles.
You can see that it's very much part of the ecosystem now, where you dig down into the soil and the nurdles are layered.
There are thousands of these lentil-sized pellets buried in the sand here. These nurdles, which are used in plastics manufacturing, are all different colors. Black, yellow, blue. Some look decades old. Hamlet works for the environmental group FIDRA, named after a nearby island in the Firth of Forth, which is prone to pollution from nearby industry.
The Firth of the Forth is also a sort of plastics hub with manufacturers of products, producers of plastic pellets, and lots of other industry.
The largest producer of these pellets is in the nearby town of Grangemouth. The plant there makes pellets out of ethane, a byproduct of natural gas drilling. Since 2016, the Grangemouth plant has been making nurdles using ethane it ships in from western Pennsylvania. The nurdles are melted down by other companies and can be molded into plastic bags, bottles, or thousands of other materials. Hamlet says the nurdles could be getting into the environment after they leave the plant at Grangemouth.
Because these pellets are very much the raw material of all the plastic products that we buy and use. And so these pellets are lost throughout the whole supply chain.
Nurdles are part of what advocates say is a global crisis of plastic pollution clogging oceans and putting plastic into the food chain. Scotland is one of more than a half dozen countries importing shale gas from the U.S. to make plastic. Like the rest of the U.K. and Europe, Scotland has begun trying to keep plastic out of the environment. One person looking for a solution is Ian Mitchell. Mitchell runs his family's trucking company, which hauls plastic pellets out of the Grangemouth plant to various producers. A few years ago, he got involved in Operation Clean Sweep, a voluntary effort to reduce plastic pollution.
And it's as simple as a brush and dustpan. It's no high tech. You just take a brush and dustpan and sweep it up.
In his company depot, Mitchell points to a newly built storm drain in the middle of a big parking lot. It doesn't look like much, but he spent over $1 million on the drainage system, which is specially made to trap plastic pellets before they leave his property.
The way it goes, it's like a U-bend in a toilet. It goes down, up and out, same principle, so that the pellets can't get over the U-bend.
The Grangemouth plant is owned by the European chemical company INEOS. The company didn't agree to an interview for this story, but in an email, the company said it's altered operations to prevent pellet loss. While the industry tries to make plastic production cleaner, others are trying to reduce the need for plastic by using less of it. At the Refillery, a plastic-free store in Edinburgh, Kelly Wright demonstrates how to fill a reusable container with dry pasta.
And then you just pop it under the dispenser, pull a lever, and dispense your pasta.
Wright opened the store after working 20 years in the grocery industry, where she saw firsthand how hard it was for retailers to quit plastic packaging.
They were not going to solve this plastic problem for us. Their infrastructures are just too tied up with plastic. It will take them years to unravel it. So I decided to quit my job and start this store.
Wright's store sells dry goods like beans and grains in bulk, loose produce, not prepackaged, and bulk liquids like dish soap. Wright says people are already carrying their own water bottles and reusable coffee mugs to cut down on waste.
So it's not such a step too far to think, well, actually, I'll bring my own container into a place and then fill it up.
But voluntary programs and plastic-free stores alone won't keep plastics out of the oceans, advocates say. One example, plastic-stemmed cotton buds, which Americans call by the trade name Q-tips. These sticks are often flushed down toilets and end up in the ocean. Claire Cavers of FIDRA, the environmental group, says public education efforts around the issue went nowhere for years.
The plastic cotton buds, I think they've been campaigning for 20 years to stop people flushing them down the toilet, because that's how they get on the beaches. And nothing, no change in 20 years.
The group eventually got Johnson & Johnson to commit to only selling paper cotton buds, And in October, the Scottish government banned plastic cotton buds altogether. The effort may be helped by another successful anti-plastic measure. Scotland passed a bag tax in 2014. The tax of about 6 cents a bag led to an 80% decline in plastic bag use in its first year. Callum Duncan of the Marine Conservation Society says there was also a big drop-off in plastic bags found on local beaches after the tax was implemented. This has real impacts on the country's marine wildlife, Duncan says.
There was a Cuvier's beaked whale, a rare diving whale, a deep diving whale, washed up in Mull that had rolls of black plastic bags in its stomach.
Duncan's group organizes beach cleans along the Scottish coast. On a sunny but windy day at Crammond Beach in Edinburgh, Melissa Pinardi was taking part of one of these cleanups with her friend, Anna Moreno. Moreno recorded each individual piece of trash on her clipboard while Pinardi called them out.
Annie, cotton bud.
Moreno, a native of Mexico who now lives in Scotland, says plastic in the ocean is an increasingly popular cause in the UK.
Especially lately with all the news and all, you know, the ads you get on Facebook and on Instagram, on media, it's just impossible to stay, you know, immune to it.
Moreno says she's trying to go as plastic-free as possible. But these days, that's not always easy to do. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Reid Fraser in Edinburgh, Scotland.